The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
You're listening to
Wrestling to the Max.
Alert, alert, clear all channels.
This is an exclusive.
How you like that?
Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
King of Sport. New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Wrestling to the Max Extra's coverage of the New Japan G1 tournament, which has maybe gratefully ended for those of us trying to stay up and watch it live, and for those of us trying to squeeze it all in, maybe you're still grateful, because now you can watch other wrestling if you want, or, you know, sleep. One of the two. I am your host, Paul Leeser. Joining me today is our New Japan affiliate and a very, very generous person for doing this with me, Mr. Tom Reese.
How you doing, Paul?
Good, buddy, man. How you been?
Happy that G1 is finally over. It's not a chore, but it was just so much great wrestling. It can only take so much at a time, and no regrets, but just glad it's over.
I started following New Japan in 2009, so my first G1 experience was watching Makabe run the table, essentially, to win it. But this is maybe, and maybe we keep saying this every year since maybe about 2014, but truly this might have been the best G1 just as far as in-ring competition goes. Like, there is just unreal matches from top to bottom.
Well, if you remember, in 2013, they had nine shows in 11 days.
Yeah.
So both blocks working every night. And that was a ridiculous sprint, and it was absolutely awesome. And we can't top this. And 2014 came, and it was great. 15 was, I thought, was awesome. Mm-hmm. Last year was great, and then every year, same story. Might not be as good. It might not be as good, but Jesus Christ! This year was insane.
I don't know if there are adjectives to really define what we got in the G1 this year, and these last three nights in particular that me and Tom are gonna spotlight. Even though myself and Sean fell way behind at night eight because I went on vacation, but I mean, just these last three nights alone. The main events, really, you could just build the best of for that could keep you entertained for weeks at a time.
You could have 50 people come up with a top 10 list of the best matches, and they're all going to be right, no matter what you do it.
Yeah, I you're so right. And, I mean, I guess without further ado, we're going to dive right into Night 16. We're going to cover the G1 matches here. First up is Satoshi Kojima taking on Tama Tonga. Kojima falls just a little short here, as he has really throughout the tournament, even though I believe he got his big win the last time A-Block was on, back in night 14, if I remember correctly. Tonga ends up avoiding the lariat and hits the gun stun to get the victory. I'm a huge Tama Tonga fan personally. I know a lot of people are still on the fence about him, but I feel like he's somebody who had a much better tournament, at least, than he did last year. Maybe not great, but certainly very good.
I'm just the opposite. I think he had a worse tournament this year.
Really?
Well, you know what it is? I think he's trying to reinvent himself, and it's just not working for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, still a great athlete, but he's missing something, and I don't know. I think he's trying too hard to be comedic and be, you know, cool all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I definitely agree with you on that point, that it does maybe feel like he's trying too hard at times, but I think he got a lot more people talking this year than he did last year, just simply from his interactions with Kenny, obviously, earlier in the tournament, where drawing the lines of either be Bullet Club or be out of Bullet Club and not the Elite and all these other little sub-factions that are in there. And I felt like people were talking about him more. And Kojima, of course, has been wonderful in this either. I don't want to forget him. He's the veteran who can really still go, and we'll talk about another one, obviously, who can still go later on, too. But, I mean, Kojima has just been phenomenal. I think he's brought the best out of everybody I think he's been in the ring with.
Kojima had probably the most underrated performer of the whole tournament.
Mm-hmm.
The fire he brought every night. I don't think he had a bad match. I don't think anybody had a bad match, but you know what I mean. Like he really, I mean, just the fans are so into him because mm-hmm. he's like the next guy on the rung from the other one we're going to talk about, Nagata. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You know his time is coming, but he can still go.
Yeah. I mean, time is coming, and you couldn't tell for Nagata. I don't think you could tell for Kojima this time around. It's not like Tenzin, where it was obvious, really, after that halfway through last year, where he really probably is on his last legs. Kojima and Nagata look like they could probably still go for another 5 years if they wanted to.
Right.
Next up, Juice Robinson beats Tori Yano about 4 minutes or so. Juice basically survives the Yano treatment, and that's pretty much it here. Yano aside, and I'm sure, you know, it's honestly, it's become whether you love him or you hate him, but a great night off, and Juice is somebody who we really probably should talk about. What a tournament he's had. Big wins over Kenny Omega, a great showing against Okada. I mean, I loved the stuff with him, Suzuki, early on, too, where he gave him the knee injury that he had to work through throughout the entire run. Like, what a babyface Juice Robinson has become.
He's absolutely amazing this tournament. Just like you said, the Suzuki match gave him the knee injury that he had to work with.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, so he's going to do that knee injury every match. It's going to get old fast, but he managed to make it work. And he got that win over Omega. It was my first day on vacation, so I wasn't going to get to watch the match right away. So I read the results, and I just like, huh?
Yeah. Juice was exactly the same way after he won, too.
Yeah, I eventually saw that. I won't repeat it, but he was exactly was. And more importantly, it's like he kept it going after the Omega match and just kept winning.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like, well, it was a fluke. The young guy got a fluke win. No, they really built it up. And, you know, I think he finished with 8 points, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you are correct.
Yeah, so he's definitely somebody. I don't know, like, how far his stock is going to go up, but it's going up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he does have I would assume, at least now, he would have a U.S. title shot against Kenny Omega. The sky's the limit, I think, for this guy right now. Okada said that he thinks Juice is the future of the company. He might not be wrong at this point.
CJ Parker, huh?
Yeah, who would have thought, right? Like,
yeah, really?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Next up, Michael Elgin takes on Evil. This is, I think, more of the usual fare that you've seen between these two guys, and Michael Elgin gets a much-needed victory here by finishing Evil off with the Elgin Bomb about 12 minutes or so. I mean, let's talk about two guys who had themselves a tournament, right? Elgin making headlines with Okada early on, seemingly looked like he might be on the path to victory after he comes up short there and then beats Omega, and then inconsistent, at least as far as the booking goes, but man, he'd been great, and Evil, that shocking win over Okada, I don't think I would have predicted that even if I had a crystal ball.
Elgin was, like, very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And It's weird, because you think he would be higher in the pecking order, but maybe it's just not his time right now, because I focus on other things.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still out there delivering consistently night after night. And I'm not surprised that Evil beat mm-hmm. Okada, but I didn't expect it, but it wasn't surprising because he's been very underrated, and he just has it. He has that, whatever it is, that extra something that draws people in.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like Elgin, he's physical.
Yeah. He very much, I think, sort of in the same mold as Goto, where he's that sort of prototypical build, I think, that people imagine when they think of Strong Style and New Japan and all that. And I think you're right. Go ahead.
Yeah, just like Ishii, somebody like that.
Ishii, yeah. And he has the ability to pull off this gimmick, which I don't think anybody really gave a shot in hell when he first came out with that fake scythe and the laser show and everything. And he's
managed, we all laughed at it.
Yeah, yeah, we did. Because, it all looks so fake. And he just lives that gimmick, it feels like. And, I mean, we all keep talking about Sonata maybe being the breakout guy who's going to be that big singles star. And maybe it's Evil. Maybe, I mean...
Yeah, I'll get to my opinion on Sonata later, but it's definitely Evil.
Well, let's get to that right now, because he took on Kenny Omega after that match and ends up coming up short against him, eats a one-winged angel and all that, so Kenny Omega at this point looking to still be game with Okada going in to the final night.
There was one scary spot in this match where I think Omega went for a moonsault off the guardrail.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Sonata was out of position or just didn't catch him, but Omega landed right on his head.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh boy, that's not good. But this match just tells the whole story of my opinion on Sonata.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is... phenomenal athlete, just got the look. He has everything down except what it takes to be a great wrestler. He cannot. His face is like completely robotic. His moveset is robotic. He doesn't draw any emotion. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have that extra something that makes you like get invested in a match. Because it's just the same thing after, I got to do my lock, I got to do this, and I got to do the springboard, and I got to do this. He doesn't, that little thing that, Omega has it. You see Omega's able to draw the crowd with his emotion, mm-hmm. his selling, and Sonata, I keep waiting for it, but it's not there.
I agree. I mean, the pieces are all there for Sonata, and maybe I've just never really paid attention to his facial expressions, too, but certainly I was expecting more during this match here with Omega. I was expecting more in his match with Okada, and we just, I don't know if he ever really broke that barrier of being in a match that people are talking about at the end of the tournament like they are with so many others, like Juice Robinson especially, but, Elgin.
Juice is the classic example. Juice is, not on Sonata's level as an athlete, but he mm-hmm. has that extra intangible to draw the people in.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times do you say that about Sonata? Well, it wasn't as good as I thought it would be, or I thought that match would be better. It seems like it's the same old story every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, especially because it seems like, at least before the G1, he might have been poised to do something with Taguchi Japan, trying to get him out of Los Ingobernables and switch him over to their side, and I don't know if that's still going to be a thing going forward, but I
really thought this was the time where he was going to have to step up and mm-hmm. Do that little extra something, and to me, he didn't.
Yeah. I think that's completely fair. I don't want to sail the boat on him yet just because he does have all these great pieces to him, but I mean, you could certainly, maybe the experience will come with him trying to learn the selling and everything to really draw you in, because I don't want to sell the great Muda short, but he was never one for facial expressions either. he was going there and smashing in the face.
But he had charisma. He had that actor, everybody has that little extra whatever it may be for them, you know. And Sonata, like you said, he got all the pieces, but he needs that whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. And that's very fair, too. And maybe it's just a gimmick. Maybe the Cold Skull is not meant to be for him.
Oh, I think he's like a classic babyface like Tanahashi. I think that's a true calling.
I would not be surprised. He was very likable during his TNA run, for sure. So maybe we'll just need to flip that coin for him. And the main event for this night, which I realized I'm doing a night early instead of where we meant to start at 17. But it's worth it to talk about this as Kazuchika Okada and Minoru Suzuki go to a 30-minute time limit draw. I don't have words to really put this into what it deserves, but this is everything completely opposite from their match back in February. An absolute war. Suzuki really looking to just, I think, break Okada, and damn near succeeds.
Damn near succeeded. This match was awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely better. It's hard to say which is the best match of G1.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly think this might be my favorite match.
It is hard to say you're wrong. And honestly, I don't know if there's... I'm still think I'm partial to Okada and Elgin way back at the beginning. But this certainly gives a lot of matches a run for their money in this. I mean, we still have a lot of great matches to talk about on this show here. But
yeah, if you play the last, I guess, 4 or 5 minutes of this match, that slap battle between the two. Good Lord.
They clearly have been watching the Kobayashi tapes, for sure.
Minoru Suzuki is so... If he's coming down my aisle in a supermarket, I'm turning around and going to the next aisle. I just, you know, that guy scares me.
If I hear he's a street over from me, I'm going the other way. Like, I don't want to be around this guy. The commentary nails it every time. This guy is a sadist. He enjoys hurting people, and he has the look that really brings that to life. And this is unbelievable. And if you haven't watched this match and you got half an hour, or 45 really, because you got all the extracurriculars that go along with this, just go watch it. It's incredible.
It's strong style.
Yeah, absolutely is. And that's something we should really talk about probably as we go on to Okada. That was something I think that was really used to be a big feature, at least in during the King's Road era of All Japan, where finishing strong in these last 10 minutes with going, you know, balls to the wall and really just trying to get as close as you can to hurting somebody without actually doing it is become an Okada trademark in these finishes. And when it works, it's phenomenal television.
He really started getting like that when he would have in a series with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
It's like, it seems like those two are the best at closing out a match, and Okada just taking it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
And he pushes the envelope here.
Yeah. I think you could say that about New Japan a lot this year with some of these.
You say that about New Japan this weekend.
Yeah, you absolutely could. That brings a close to night 16, so we'll just jump right into night 17 here, which is the finale for the A block. And we're going to open with something that may or may not make me cry as we talk about it, as Yuji Nagata has his last G1 match ever against Bad Luck Fale. 11 minutes, Fale ends up winning with the Bad Luck Fall to put the guy who basically trained him down for good. And the crowd is clapping and cheering. And I forget the announcer's name, who's just such a Nagata fan on commentary, but he's there.
Ife Nogami.
That's it. And then Nagata and him are crying. And Fale gives Nagata the two sweet sign. And Nagata just gives him the Blue Justice salute. And Fale bows to essentially his teacher and bails to let Nagata have his moment. And this damn near made me cry watching it live. And Nagata is just, what a talent, what a tournament. And I want him in the next tournament, even though I know it's not going to happen.
Right. In hindsight, I really wish this was the semi-main instead of the opening of the A-block matches for the show.
Yeah.
Because this was, I don't know, this was made you like Valet for a little bit too, but which is not easy. But Nagata's been absolutely incredible this tournament. I mean, 49 years old, and I don't know, number 4-star matches he's had is right up there with the top guys.
Yeah,
and the closing moments where everybody held up the Blue Justice and they dimmed the light, the blue.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, as you see Nogami there crying, and you can see it got to Nagata.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, one of those G1 moments you won't forget.
I mean, maybe one of the seminal moments for New Japan too. Like, this is a guy who got him through a lot of stuff, and I mean, really right up there. Maybe as responsible for keeping New Japan afloat as Tanahashi is at some points.
Well, you said your first G1 was 2009.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you ever saw his, when he won in 2001, his final match with Moto was absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Nagata was, he was in the conversation for best in the world, period.
Yeah.
But he was the fall guy for Inoki, and his just absolute dumbness, I guess you want to call him, when he
break
tried to
with
put
reality, I think is what I like to call it.
Exactly. You know, he decided to put Nagata in a fight with some unknown kickboxer named Miracle Krokop, and that destroyed Nagata.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans never believed him, but he still, you know, he still moved forward. Like you said, he probably responsible for holding it together until Tanahashi got up on top.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of the matches that him and Tanahashi had in the early and mid 2000s, and they're just some of the best wrestling you'll see too. But I'll start crying if we talk about Nagata anymore. So, Makabe takes on Yoshihashi next. This was pretty solid. I think Makabe's had a fine tournament, right? It's nothing over the top, and I was expecting a bit more for Yoshihashi because he was seemingly getting the push earlier in the year and seems to have fallen back to, I think, where he was. When he's given the moments, I think he's proved himself.
I think he said it best. The match was solid, and that solid, but, you know, I think I agree with you about Yoshihashi because he had a great match with Suzuki.
Yeah.
I guess a couple months back. And figure after last year, G1, he'd do better, but.
Mm-hmm.
And then Makabe gets his standard 8 points, and
yeah.
He doesn't have bad matches. I mean, all of his matches are good, but I don't know. Maybe I think his ship has sailed, and without Hanma, you know, he's better off in a tag team with Hanma than he is in a single, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you entirely on that point. And for me, Hanma certainly, him being away and that sort of keeping Makabe maybe out of the light has made him fresher in this tournament. I know a lot of people aren't a big fan of Makabe, but Makabe was, whenever he got that push to the G1 title back when I first started watching, at least, you know, as much as I could back in 2009, as you could on YouTube and all that, he looked like he was going to be a big star for a little while, and it didn't really take.
I remember when he was Shinya Makabe when he first started, and I always thought he was going to be like a big star, but he came along in that, somewhere in between the Dark Ages and the resurgence of New Japan. So, and when he was a tag team with Hanma, he didn't really have to do much because Hanma did all the work, and then he'd make the hot tag come and finish the match.
Yeah.
It was the greatest job in the business.
One I think a lot of us might envy at this point. So after we have those two, we have one of my personal favorites. This may not, you know, have cracked a lot of people's top tens just because there's so many great matches, but Tomohiro Ishii and Zack Sabre Jr. Zack Sabre gets the big win here, 15.5, by making Ishii pass out because Ishii is the toughest man walking the planet, and I love this man so much, and I really wanted him to have a great tournament. And match-wise, I think he was damn near untouchable throughout the entire run, and Zack Sabre Jr., to his credit, put in a phenomenal first tournament for sure.
One of my goals in life is to have a beer with Tomohiro Ishii. Like you say, he's the greatest man to walk the planet. He really is.
He really is.
And Zack Sabre, he had a really surprising G1, I thought. Mm-hmm. Zack Sabre, you know, because he's a skinny, lanky guy, got that cool style, but you wonder how it would play out in New Japan and, you know, especially 9 singles matches, but he did great, and the finish of this match was awesome, because, like, how do you beat Ishii? Well, you just tie his leg up, tie his arm up, kick him in the head all at the same time.
Eventually, a man has to pass out, and Ishii, after getting basically kicked and stretched into so many different ways, even the greatest of men have to take a dirt nap sometimes, and this was Ishii's time, I guess. But
the best part was after the match, they taped the ice to his knee, they taped the ice to his elbow. Yeah. Like, almighty.
I have this, you know, I feel like they put Sabre in Suzuki Gun, one, because they're training him to sort of be a Suzuki Jr. He may not have that look, but he certainly does have the style of a Suzuki, where he just enjoys punishing you, and Sabre feels like a disciple almost of that style, at least here in New Japan.
Definitely helped being with Suzuki, because, like, he didn't have that tough guy aura to him, Sabre, that is. But if you pair him with Suzuki, you know, it kind of gives you a little credibility.
Yeah.
And then he went out there and he earned it every night.
Mm-hmm. I think another great thing about Sabre in this tournament, too, was that he worked such a different style in a block full of people who either like to fly around or hit you really hard, where he would just sort of want to work the ground with you. And that's kind of nice to not only bring that difference to the block, but I almost want to say it might have been an easier night for some of these guys, where they just have to lay there and still get in stretch for, you know, 20 minutes.
I was going to say, he was the A block night off. Mm-hmm. To Yano's B block night off.
Yeah.
In a different way, though, because you still have to think about what you're doing with Sabre, because, you know, you up, down, stretching, you gotta kind of know what you're doing there. Mm-hmm. 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 As opposed to just wait for a low blow and get your feet taped together.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So we get to this co-main event of Kota Ibushi and Hirooki Goto. Goto gets the surprising victory here, fighting off a bunch of knee strikes. He hits a big headbutt, 2 GTRs, and that's enough to put Ibushi down for the night. Obviously, I think this is a little shorter, maybe to give the main event some more time, because, you know, it's Naito and Tanahashi, and you know what those two are going to bring. But this was one I was expecting more from, and I was slightly disappointed. But you had to follow that last match, too, and maybe that's just hangover.
Yeah, that's why I said in hindsight I wish the Nagata match would have been here. Mm-hmm. Because the match, it fell short of expectations, and I'm kind of surprised that Goto got the win. Because mm-hmm. you figure Ibushi, you know, you beat Tanahashi, he'll probably get a IC title match, and you figure maybe at Tokyo Dome, him and Omega, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really surprised he didn't get the win. It was still a good match. It just, I don't know, like you said, after the last match and before the main event.
Yeah.
Didn't really have a chance.
Yeah, didn't really have a chance. And we'll talk about, you know, trajectory to the Dome whenever we finish up with the finale. Just because there's so much spinning out of this last night. But the main event here is Tetsuya Naito and Tanahashi. Destino ends up putting Tanahashi down. Naito getting his win back after losing the Intercontinental Championship to Tanahashi the last time they met. These two have been terrific all year. This, however, even though this is probably still somewhere north of, you know, 4.5, or is 4.5, maybe 4.25 if you're feeling a little down about it, but certainly the worst match out of the three they've had this year, and at 4.5, that's really saying something.
It's the worst match of the three, and people still consider it a match of the year contender.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The thing with Naito, it's amazing how people are so into him. Before the matches even start, the crowd is just, they're so hot for him. And it's amazing where he was 2 years ago and where he is now.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up, too, because we're talking about a guy who was snubbed out of a Tokyo Dome main event, was basically getting turned on before the turn, and seemingly looked like he might be heading downwards, and then he turns it all around after a trip to Mexico. And I mean, who doesn't say Mexico works wonders? They're lying.
Well, here's a classic example of how we were talking about Sonata earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Naito, he was more or less that classic babyface, good-looking young babyface guy that you really didn't believe were tough, and whatever it was, he just did not have it. But then he found that gimmick, and still the same great worker, but he has that something now, and he's the man in New Japan.
He really is, and this was step one, really, I think, in trying to get him back to where they wanted him to be 2-3 years ago, maybe, and he wins the A block against his rival for the year, which is phenomenal. And then that leads us into night 18, which is the finale for Block B, and they open with Michael Elgin taking on Juice Robinson. Juice gets a chance to finish the tournament strong as he beats the big man with Pulp Friction. I really enjoyed this match, maybe a little more than some, just because I think the journey with Juice has been so much fun, and I'm a very big Michael Elgin fan, too. So watching these two really go at it, and the crowd was into both of them, which is helpful and almost surprising, I think, at points, just because you think of how many Gaijins are in New Japan now and how many of them are as over as, you know, was there ever a time really where they had this many Gaijins this over? I certainly can't think of one.
Maybe back in the early to mid 80s.
Yeah.
That's about it. But, I'm with you on this one. I thought it was way better than what some people did, and probably because Juice got the win. That's what surprised me, and the crowd was so into it.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if you caught Juice's comments after the match, but when he talked about drinking Sapporo beer and going something deep in Japanese women. Hey, the man was happy.
I mean, the man, he had himself one hell of a tournament. You can do what you want, Juice. There's a great GIF going around, too, where there's a bunch of girls at ringside who are, they're pretty cute, and Juice is like, I gotta stay focused, maybe later, and he just sort of has to shake his head and walk back to the ring so he can get ready for the match.
Juice, but I really liked it because, I really liked it because, you know, he got that win over Omega, so it's not the fluke now, because now he beat Michael Elgin, who beat Omega.
Right.
And, you know, it's like Michael Elgin's a legitimate top-tier guy, you know, so sky's the limit for Juice now. And he's going to Mexico next week, so.
Yeah, I have. You know, a trip to CMLL has worked wonders for some and done absolutely nothing for others, so we'll just have to see what Juice can bring and really what is a completely different environment than I think he's ever been exposed to, for sure. Just because CMLL is so old school and at times, and maybe it'll work with the way Juice works, but I don't know.
They love the stripper gimmick down there, and that's exactly what he's gonna be.
I didn't think about that at all. Oh boy, so find CMLL on YouTube, guys, and you can see maybe a bit more Juice than you want.
Anyway, next match.
Next match, Sonata takes on Tama Tonga. Once again, another one I was expecting more of. However, I was pleased with the finish. Tonga ends up getting the win with the gun stun. I thought it was the finish, the last two or three minutes were really, really solid. And the build-up to it was fine, too. Lots of Paradise Lock work as Tama Tonga looks to stay elusive.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the last few minutes were good for a Tafla match. I don't know, because I'm kind of not soured on both of them, but just haven't been doing it for me. You know, and they were doing the comedy early, and,
right.
You know. I thought the count out tee was pretty good when I had him in a Paradise Lock, and Roa and Yujiro had to figure out how to get him out of it.
Right.
And then Tonga almost killed himself hopping the guardrail. So, you know, it's 19, and then all of a sudden, oops.
Oopsie-daisy. man. You know, funny comedy aside, you know, I know we've talked about Tama Tonga and Sonata some already, but, you know, I hope good things for Tama coming out of this. He's a terrific athlete, if nothing else, for sure.
Exactly. And I think, if anything, maybe he ought to go to WWE.
Yeah. We talk about this, me and Sean, at least pretty often whenever we do talk about it. Like, he is somebody who I think would fit very, very well in the WWE, for sure. Even though I think he could still make his way here in New Japan, if that's what he wants to do, he would do very well over there, too. He's a great athlete, and I think he's very good on the microphone. He's gotten a chance to prove that.
Well, he's another guy. He's just going to find out. He's just going to find something that works for him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And somebody who has found something that works for him, Toriyanu, takes on Minoru Suzuki, and this went down, I think, exactly how I thought it was going to. Suzuki, for one, is a great straight man in anything comedic. That empty baseball field match at the Tokyo Dome for DDT earlier this year was just a treat and a half. And watching him and Yano hook up here was great fun, too. And Yano manages to win, ties him up with the tape, chair shot, low blows, rolls him up for the win. And Suzuki decides to murder some young lions, as he's wont to do afterwards, because who's going to stop him from doing that?
The sight of all those young lions just laid to waste. The camera just goes along with all these dead bodies around Winka. It was awesome. But seriously, I love this match, honestly, because I'm a big Yano fan, just for all of his shenanigans. He is now 3-0 against Minoru Suzuki in G1.
Oh, my, wow. That's
This is where it all started in 2013, because Yano handcuffed Suzuki to the guardrail, and Suzuki was in the running to get to the finals and in Sumo Hall, and he handcuffed him, got the count out win, and that's what started the whole Yano Suzuki feud.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that now. For me, I mean, Yano is hit or miss, but I think in these situations where he works with somebody so just, I think, diametrically opposed to him, like him and Okada worked, even though I thought it was too long. I thought this one was a much better length of time, and two, I think, told the story perfectly. And maybe he finds it.
If you keep him to the 5 minutes or so, you know, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And like you said, Suzuki is the perfect straight man for this.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, Yano's one of the few that's beaten Suzuki during the tournament. Now, another open title shot could be in his future. Can he pull it off? And can he pull it off again? I think is the question now.
It'll be a fun match, that's for sure.
Yeah, it certainly will. And this leads us to Satoshi Kojima taking on Evil. I thought this was another very, very good match. This is two guys who match up very well with each other. I think they went out there. The crowd, so invested in Kojima, wanting him to get another win, especially after the night before with Nagata getting his hopes dashed. And it just isn't meant to be. Evil, big headbutt, everything is evil into the STO, and that's all it is.
If you haven't seen this match, I say don't sleep on it, because it was really good. It got so physical toward the end with the clotheslines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was Kojima at his best.
Kojima with that brainbuster on Evil 2 towards the end, too, is just absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, and Evil is so great. Like, sometimes you just don't know if he's really out of it, or because the way he rolls his eyes back, it's like, oh boy, this doesn't look good.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I mean. He's able to draw you in. He's got that something, and the guy's good.
Yeah, for somebody whose excursion in Ring of Honor didn't really do a lot of favors, for my opinion, and then him getting saddled with the gimmick that he did to this point now, there's a very large part of me that hopes he ends up with the NEVER title at some point next year, just because, one, I think his first run with Shibata was just, you know, it just wasn't his time. I think next year very well could be.
I remember when he was in Ring of Honor, they did one of those meet and greets in Philadelphia, and I felt so bad for him because he sat there at the end of the table, and I don't think one person went up to him. I don't think anybody knew who he was. He was just an anonymous guy sitting there, and now he's evil.
Yeah, everything is evil. So shame on you people in Philly for not shaking this man's hand.
I'm guilty.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably are, because I'm sure there's more meet and greets that he just said at the end of the table, like, well, here I am. But that brings us to this main event, Okada and Omega 3. Folks, I don't know if I really need to tell you, that 5 stars, these guys deliver everything you want. Kenny, V-trigger after V-trigger, Okada, Rainmaker after Rainmaker, and... Man, Omega finally hits the one-winged angel, the one thing he's been trying to hit on him, and it does it. It gets him the victory. He finally gets the win. They're 1-1 and 1 against each other. What a trilogy. What a match. What a story. Both of these guys have so much going on for him this year. It's unreal.
The setup was great when Okada went to the draw with Suzuki. So, you know, Omega had to get the win. Draw wasn't going to help him. And I think, to be fair to everybody, when we do the match of the year voting this year, Okada and Omega just get anointed the winner, and then we do a voting for the runner-up. It's not fair. I mean, you wonder what they were going to be able to do inside of 30 minutes because to pull it off, and they did. Mm-hmm. They came right out. It kind of reminded me of the Styles Cena match from the Rumble, where they just started going near fall after near fall right away.
Yeah.
They just, you know, came out, you know, gun blazing. That's kind of like how this was.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of scary moments where Omega did the plancha, and Okada, the back of his head, just nailed the guardrail.
Oh, yes.
I thought that didn't look good. And then the reverse Rana on the floor, where he landed straight on his head. I'm sure he planned it that way, but, you know, I might want to choose another route. And then, you know, right after that, he does a suplex on the ring apron.
The dragon suplex on the ring apron is the spot that stuck out to me the most. Like that, why would you want to do that?
I don't know. If I'm New Japan, I got an investment in this guy, you know. And then they were back in the ring, and, you know, Omega kept kicking out of Rainmakers, and I swear he's going to kill somebody with those V-triggers one of these days, because that's the thing that worried me about him. The guy goes so hard, so fast, that, you know, you're the pro, so.
For a long time, you know, now Michimaru Fuji over in Noah and his time elsewhere, too, has made a name for himself for throwing some pretty stiff knees. I don't know if he's got anything on Kenny.
Honestly, I don't think he does.
I really don't. Like, some of these V-triggers, especially where they're down, like, hanging on the middle rope, and he just floors them with it. It looks like it should kill them every time. And God bless you, Omega. You're amazing.
Yeah. And then, you know, then the question becomes, which one of the three is actually the best, or which one of the three is actually your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there's a lot of people who are sticking to that draw that they did, and I don't think you can really blame anybody for picking anyone that
they do.
Well,
there's no wrong answer.
Yeah. there really isn't. And I still really love the atmosphere and the dome and all that, you know, the big stuff from Wrestle Kingdom. But man, I mean, every time these two go out there, they deliver. So, I mean, trying to pick favorites is like trying to pick a favorite amongst your kids. You know, you're not supposed to, but you kind of have one.
And the thing is, they set the bar so high, you know, so they have to exceed it every time now. And it's like, how? What they do?
They do, yeah. There's got to be just like pages and pages of notebooks back there of how they could top it. And there's just some, like, there's some scientists back there doing math, and it's just, I bet you there's just a whole team based around trying to make sure these guys surpass every match that they do. It's incredible. That leads us to our final night, though. We'll go a little bit quicker through these undercard stuff, just because. First off, Kushida, Tiger Mask, Jushin Liger, and Hirai Kawato take on Takamichi Noku, El Desperado, Taichi, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Despy has been getting something that New Japan likes to do, and if you don't watch the undercard tags, one, I completely understand you because you have so much wrestling to watch already with just the G1, but Despy has won, if I'm remembering correctly now, and I have to think back to a lot of nights where I'm still up at 6 in the morning watching these, Despy has gotten a pinfall in every undercard tag he has been in, and he has a big brawl with Kushida after Suzuki-gun puts Kawato away here, who was phenomenal once again. And him and Kushida have this big brawl, and it looks like they're the next program for the IWGP junior title. And I can't say I'm really upset about that, because Despy was phenomenal during the Super Juniors tournament this year, and I think he's been great during the G1, too, if you ask me.
First, this was a great opener, and the post-match brawl all over the Sumo Hall was great.
Yeah.
Kawato, once again, was great. But Despy, it's classic way that Gato books. You know, whatever match he's in, he's winning. And he's winning. His team wins because he gets the win, you know. So now you really want to see him and Kushida. And it's going to, I agree with you about the Super Juniors. He was maybe the most underrated guy in the tournament.
Yeah. Him or Bushi, I think, for sure. Underrated in that tournament by far. Just because everybody's watching all the Gaijins in there, plus, you know, Kushida and Hiromu had the story going in and all that great stuff. And
Bushi gets too much hate. I don't know why, but you know, some people, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just because I don't think he's really had the spotlight since Hiromu's come in, and people just, like, him and Kushida, phenomenal matches every single time. That's another duo that I don't know how they manage to top themselves every time, but they do. They absolutely do.
Kushida is just awesome. He just managed to get the best out of everybody.
No doubt about that at all. next up, you have Manabu Nakanishi and Yuji Nagata take on the Gorillas of Destiny. This is short. The Gorillas get the win, obviously, because they're one of the few tag teams they have around. They got to keep them strong. The best part, though, Nagata gets to take his final bow. His music gets to play. The lights go blue again. Just another feel-good moment to make you wish Nagata wasn't leaving the G1. But he is, and we're going to have to figure out. I mean, I don't know if he gets just shunned to the dojo now, because that seems to be where they want him. Or if he's just going to stick to the undercard tags forever. But I mean, for him to not get another title challenge somewhere down the road next year would just be criminal, if you ask me.
He's probably just going to be the undercard tag guy now. Maybe get one of those odd show singles matches at Cork and Hall or something. So obviously he made a decision, so, you know.
Yeah.
49 is Olympian, 20 plus year career, and he's still healthy.
He's still healthy, yeah. And he seems to be in charge of the Lionsgate stuff, or at least partially, with one, not only main eventing everything, but he's training everybody that's at least from the New Japan side. And the talk of the Young Lions Cup down there has me pretty excited just because. You know, they keep bringing up new crops of young lions. I'm like, they're not going to be as good as the last class. And at least for the last 2 or 3 years, they keep finding a way to do that too. So
yeah, the future could be scary.
Yeah, absolutely. So, which, I mean, obviously we have to wait and see if they pan out, but I think, you know, at least Kitamura Oka and Kawato, they all look like they're going to be great. It's still too soon to tell, I think, for the younger kids, but these guys for sure have it. Goto and Yoshihashi then team up to take on David Finlay and Togi Makabe. Finlay, I feel like, is just waiting around for Jay White to come in. I feel like they're going to be tagging up, and Goto and Yoshihashi get the quick win here. Not a whole ton to talk about here, but any thoughts at all?
Actually, I skipped this match.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. This match and the next match I skipped, so time is the enemy.
Time is the enemy. So I just to quickly get through the next one. Juice Robinson, Kojima, Tenzin take on Chase Owens, Bad Luck Fale, Yujiro. Once again, not a whole lot to miss here. The babyfaces get the victory as Juice gets to hit the Pulp Friction on Chase Owens, who surprisingly I feel like has worked out very well during this run. For somebody who doesn't get a lot of New Japan time, every time he comes back, I always feel like he's gotten better. And that's certainly something that I don't think I could have said about Chase 3 years ago.
Yeah, Chase really, really started to shine on this tour.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the best he's looked in a, what, 3-4 years now he's been coming to New Japan?
I think that's right. Whenever they started doing the new the NWA stuff with, what's his name?
It was him and that Bruce...
Bruce Tharp. Yeah.
Yeah, Bruce Tharp, yeah. Yeah, I think he really finally starting to look like he belongs there.
Yes, yeah. I absolutely agree with that wholeheartedly. So, I mean, if they keep wanting to bring him around, especially because he's almost, he's the whipping boy for Bullet Club for sure, but his relationship, I feel like you got to see with all his stablemates during the entire run really helped elevate him. And his ring work, of course, was great as well. So that, however, brings us to the IWGP Junior Tag Team title match as the Young Bucks defend against Ricochet and Ryusuke Taguchi of Taguchi Japan. 15 minutes. I thought this was really, really great. The Bucks this year seemingly are out to prove that they're not all about just flipping. And don't get me wrong, they still do that. But it's very much psychology now and telling stories, and that seems to be at the forefront of their mind whenever they step in the ring, especially here in Japan. And Ricochet and Taguchi end up getting the win despite the fact that I mean they did what they tried to do to Roppongi Vice, and it didn't work out this time, because obviously the teamwork between Taguchi Japan is seemingly next level.
Now, first off, I honestly believe, as far as junior tag title matches go,
mm-hmm.
this was top five ever.
Wow.
Yeah, I think this match was just great. Totally agree with you on the Bucks. They still do all their flips. They still do all this, that, and the other, and mm-hmm. throw in the comedy. But instead of doing 17,000 flips and kicks, now they're only doing 6,000. So, you know, they're still doing a lot, but they're structuring it, you know, much yes. better now in the match, the way they build the match and everything. And the highlight of the match for me, you know, how Ricochet always does this thing where he hops up, goes out one side, gets back in, flips out the other side, comes back in and does a springboard, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Taguchi did that in this match, and I was absolutely jumping off the sofa when he did. I was going nuts. And he's the only guy that can get away with bringing a bird out on his shoulder.
I think
make
Taguchi,
sure you keep away from ballet.
Yeah. Taguchi, I feel like, could seemingly get away with anything at this point, just because Not only is he just so out there, I think, as a character, but, you know, I mean, the man thinks he's running a soccer team, for God's sakes. Like,
that shows what talent he is, because he can get away with that. I mean, you know, how many people can get away with what he does?
Yano Toru is all I got, because that's the only other guy who I think could get away with anything, too. following this phenomenal match, we get this Wrestle Kingdom video package, and then Shibata's music hits out of nowhere. He comes storming out past the curtain. The crowd is freaking out. There's a couple of shots that the cameraman manages to get of people crying. He hops into the ring and is very short with his comments here translated. He says, "I'm alive, that's all," and then takes a seat, and he even took a back bump. This was incredible. For somebody whose prognosis looks bleak, he looks every bit the man he was back in, three, 4 months ago.
It's like Friday night, you thought nothing could top that moment with Nagata, but when his music hit, that place came unglued, and it was incredible. I mean, just to see him walk into the ring was, because you keep reading all these stories about his two brain surgeries and his trouble seeing and, depression, whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see him that he's, able to come out in front of the people.
Yeah, yeah. It even gives you a smile, which looked wrong on his face.
Something that never happens.
Yeah. This is supposed to be the most miserable man walking the planet, and here he is smiling. And all joking aside, it's nice to see him, one, walking, because people thought he was just completely done, and apparently his prognosis has gotten much better with all the electrotherapy he's doing, and he's still intent on coming back to the ring. And I mean, what a story so far this year this guy's had.
For the man, I hope he never gets clear to come back.
Mm-hmm.
As a fan, I would love to see it, but when you know what we know today about head injuries and stuff, it's like, it's not worth it.
It's not worth it, yeah. I'm right there with you. I really want to see him back in the ring. It's criminal that we're losing this tremendous, one, a tremendous wrestler, and two, just one, legitimately maybe one of the toughest men walking the planet, too. And it just, mistaken headbutt. That's all it took.
Yeah, and the sad part is, I really think that he was going to be a major factor in a G1 this year. Not win, but I thought he was going to be a major factor and then a big-time player going forward.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people think Ibushi's in this because of Shibata's injury. I honestly think he would have been in the finale this year had it not been for the injury, for sure. I think it would have been him and Naito.
That's hard to argue.
Yeah, it's just a shame. It wasn't meant to be, and close to crying again. We get this video package of a mysterious man sort of just like stabbing things and stuff like that. A lot of people think it's Jay White coming back from excursion. I haven't a clue who this could be, just like that. I didn't know who the time bomb was going to be last year. So I'm more than happy to just sit back and wait until this thing happens.
Scary thought, a guy just stabbing things with a knife.
Yeah. maybe that's what they do down there in New Zealand. I don't know. I've never been.
Well, you remember last year, everybody thought it was going to be Minoru Suzuki as a time bomb, but it just wound up being a guy coming back from a scourge. And so Jay White's obviously not a bad pick.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we got to see it at the G1 specials this year here in the States, that they still think very highly of Jay White. He's been treated very well in Ring of Honor, as far as I can tell, at least as far as on screen. Been kept very, very strong. So you pull him back in, I mean, as a heavyweight that people, it looks like they're going to book him as heavyweight, at least, that people are going to instantly get behind for sure, even if he's, I don't know if he's going to be heel or face from just this promo here, but we'll just have to wait and see, I guess. But I love Jay White personally. I think he's a huge fan.
Either way, he's a can't-miss star.
Yeah. All right, there with you. Can't miss at all. Enough of emotions and speculation, because it's time for some ass-kicking as War Machine comes out to defend the IWGP Tag Team titles against Adam Page and Cody, last name redacted. The War Machine retains with Fallout here. I thought this was still really, really fun. Paige and Cody have some chemistry here. I think Cody is... Cody's one of my favorite wrestlers out there right now. I know a lot of people aren't super high on him. But I think he's got all the tools, really, to put it together and be something wherever he wants to be. And right now it's Ring of Honor, New Japan. And I feel like he's one of those slow starters here in New Japan. But I think they're kind of getting behind him. They're really taking to War Machine, though.
War Machine is a testament to how good this match really was, because... You think Cody and Hangman's like, why are they teaming up in a title match?
Mm-hmm.
But War Machine is just so good because yeah. They're so different. They're just two big horses that are agile, and they're ugly as all ugly. And, you know, they're a throwback, you know, to the old days of the big beer belly heels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I agree with you on Cody. He gets a lot of hate. You know, some of it undeserved, a lot of it undeserved, but because the guy has a lot of passion for the business, and that's what I like about him.
Yeah.
And Hangman Page, one of those guys, I keep waiting to see if he's going to break out.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he's got a ton of potential, but I don't know if just because of opportunity or, you know, he just hasn't really broken out yet.
I'm right there with you. I really like Page. To repeat your comment, I think he has a ton of potential too. For a long time, at least in Ring of Honor, it looked like he was going to be a surefire TV champion until they got on this kick of putting the belt on all the international guys and really trying to make it sort of a belt that brings in the outside stars for big matches. And Paige has since found a spot in the Bullet Club. And honestly, I think he's happy where he is, right? I mean, he gets to come out here and do the flashy moves and act like a tough guy when he maybe weighs as much as you or me.
He's good, though.
He is good.
Yeah, it's good. The match was just really good. Could have really built and built and built for the moonsault. I forget which big guy was doing it, but I finally hit it. This match was like surprisingly good, yeah. In other words.
Hanson was the one who was doing the moonsault.
Hanson, okay. Yeah.
Post-match, here comes the Grills of Destiny to make their obligatory challenge because they want the belts back. But we got to put all that shit on hold because Killer Elite Squad is back, and they come out murdering everybody, and I think everybody in the world has the biggest smiles on their back because Killer Elite Squad might be the only other thing in Suzuki Gun that people give a shit about.
I'll tell you what, now that Zack Sabre Jr. is there,
yeah,
with him, Suzuki... Killer Elite Squad, Kenemaru, you get rid of Taichi, and what's his name?
Taka?
Izuka. Yeah, Izuka. You get rid of those two clowns. That's a pretty good stable.
Yeah.
But
I agree with you entirely. I can't stand Taichi. and I see people come to bat for him, too. I'm like, how can you defend this guy? He's so... lazy. Like, I just can't get him off my screen.
Yeah. Just if he's in a tag match, I just can't watch it unless there's like something on the line or something.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. and he was trained by Kawada. Like, how does this happen? I'll never know. 6-man tag team action though. Elgin, Ibushi, and Tanahashi, which, God, what a team that is, against Minoru Suzuki, Zack Sabre Jr., and the returning Izuka, because we haven't seen him for a while. Suzuki-Goon gets the victory here. Sabre rips off Tanahashi's compression sleeve again, puts him in the octopus while Suzuki holds off Elgin, and Tanahashi eventually has to tap because the injury obviously is still there. A little long in the tooth for my taste, but this was still pretty gosh darn good.
Five of the six guys here are really elite workers, so mm-hmm. It was definitely a good match. And I think really just to set up Tanahashi and Zack Sabre.
Yeah.
Which is really cool to see him get another submission over him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like it wasn't a fluke the first time. You know, this guy's for real. And I think they did a little something with Elgin and Suzuki, too. That could be fun.
Yeah, they have themselves a big post-match brawl. Suzuki and Elgin, sign me up. Those guys are going to just murder each other, and I am absolutely okay with that.
Yes, absolutely.
And, of course, Suzuki, it wouldn't be his time on screen unless he murders some young lions, which he once again does. So, those poor kids. I hope they're getting extra meals or something at the dojo. Eight-man tag team action. Kaito, Toru Yano, Tomohiro Ishii, and Kazuchika Okada taking on the LIJ contingent of Evil, Bushi, Sonata, and Hiromu Takahashi. Daryl is back from seeming death, that, you know, proving that ain't no grave can hold a cat body down. And LIJ manages to pull out the victory with Takahashi putting the triangle on Ghetto.
You will never see a bad match with LIJ and a team every time out. And I think with the Nagata going away and the return of I'm going to bring for Shibata.
Yeah.
Lost in all of this was the return of Daryl. Mean, that's big news.
That is big news. I never thought I would be such a big fan of a stuffed cat. Never in my life. Never in my life.
When he first brought it out months ago, it's like, what the hell is this? But man, when Fale murdered him, holy.
Yeah. Twitter lit on fire, and maybe the second loudest crowd reaction of the night, because Elgin and Okada would go on that later that night to just absolutely kill it. But
right. Yeah, I really don't think they realized at the time, like, just how popular that damn stuffed cat was.
Now they know. I mean, there was another night in the tournament where a fan showed up with her own stuffed Daryl, and Fale killed that too, because he's a monster who hates joy, and fuck him.
Telling you, keep him away from Taguchi and that bird.
Yeah. I guess enough talking about stuffed cats. It's time for a G1 finale. Tetsuya Naito, Kenny Omega. I don't think I really need to tell you that this match was phenomenal and every bit as deserving. These guys followed up their phenomenal match from last year with this, and I, God, this is great. Naito wins. Destino, Kenny Omega walks to the back dejected. There's a thing going around that New Japan put out on Facebook and YouTube of Omega running into Ibushi after the loss and seemingly just sort of pushing him aside and storming off with the Young Bucks. Like that time is done with him, even though a lot of people are thinking that's going to be for the Dome now. And Naito punches his ticket to at least defend the briefcase to get his championship match at the Dome.
The best part of this match was right before I started, when the camera panned back and the crowd was just on fire. Mm-hmm. This was the finals that they wanted. Yep. That crowd in that building on that night wanted. And again, Kenny Omega has this great match with Naito last year, and you're like, how is he going to top it? But Jesus, he does. But this match, honestly, I was getting scared watching it. Mm-hmm. At one point, I texted my buddy when I watched, and I said, dude, these guys are killing each other. I mean, they weren't sloppy, but they were going at such a hard pace that, you know, you had to slip up on the pile driver. That could have been disaster. The superplex spot where I don't know if that was planned or where it looked like Naito's head went right down onto the metal between the post and the buckle. I mean, they're just these guys. They were determined to have the best match, and in a year of best matches, it was great.
Yeah, this is still 5 stars in my book.
Oh yeah,
35 minutes of just insane action. You're absolutely right about the pace. Looked like they took a page out of what Hiromu and Dragon Lee love to do, where they're borderline reckless in their pace, but yet somehow still making this all look effortless and like a wrestling match instead of just two guys out there trying to murder each other. And I Kenny comes ever so close, but once again, he can't hit the one winged angel because, you know, Naito keeps on finding a way to get out of it, and it finally wasn't meant to be for him to go back to back. But I mean, Kenny Omega, star. If he wasn't one already with the Okada feud, this certainly punched that ticket of top three in the company. And I mean, Naito looks to be on his way to being crowned IWGP champion at this point, just because Okada's got to lose at some time. And they keep building up the injuries and how much he's getting beat on and all these other wonderful things that just make you want to watch every show.
Yeah, it's just, like you said, definitely top 3D guys. That crowd, mm-hmm. I'll just never forget the crowd. They were just going nuts. And like, you know, when Omega goes to do that flip over the rope where, you know, he does the tap on the mat, and then the Bucks started to tap, and then the whole building just started to clap along with it. And mm-hmm. That's what I always remember about this match. The crowd was just so invested into these two guys and the ridiculous pace that they went at for 35 minutes. It was nuts.
Yeah, it's incredible. New Japan keeps on pulling it out. I don't know how. It's just terrific tournament. Obviously Naito off to the dome. We have a lot of other stuff that we got to get through. Obviously King of Pro Wrestling, and there's still Destruction and the World Tag League and all this other stuff. But just in this tournament, who do you think, you know, had the best tournament out of all 20 of these guys?
Ishii always finishes at or near the top because every match he's in is great.
Mm-hmm.
But Okada, if you count the match with Evil as a match of the year contender,
mm-hmm.
Okada had 4 match of the year contenders.
Yeah.
In 9 matches. That's insane. In a month. That's insane. So maybe Okada as a top performer.
I mean, you're not wrong. 2 of those were damn near back-to-back with Suzuki and Omega, right, as we talked about here. And that match with Elgin is just phenomenal. I loved his work with Juice as well. That was incredible. Coming out of this, I loved Okada's tournament in this too. I loved Ishii's for sure. I don't think I could really sell short Nagata. He might not have had match of the night or match of the year contenders, but I think I was as invested in every single one of his matches, despite the fact that he was at the bottom of the barrel the entire time as far as points go.
And Tanahashi, he closed out a lot of shows, and he got the torn bicep, and mm-hmm. he just always finds a way.
I don't know what this guy is made of, but it's certainly stronger stuff than maybe 99% of the human population has flowing through their veins. The guy has worked through so many injuries and can still produce match of the year contenders. It's insane what this guy can do. I one of the best of all time for sure.
Absolutely.
I don't know if there may be, I mean, maybe we've already talked about this too, but who do you think had, you know, just the most disappointing tournament out of everybody here?
As far as hype going in or expectations, mm-hmm. I would say for me it's Sonata because he didn't elevate himself.
Yeah.
You could say Tama Tonga, but he pretty much where I expected him.
Mm-hmm.
Yano is by design, so you can't really include him.
Yeah.
That's how great the tournament was, though. There just wasn't any bad performers.
I would definitely say it's either Sonata and maybe Yoshihashi, and disappointment in the fact that he maybe only finished with 4 points is where I would go there. But Sonata for sure was somebody I was expecting to be where Evil was, hanging out at 12 points. He only gets 8, and I struggled to think of a great match to that's worth talking about at the end of this, is my only problem. And this is from somebody who is waiting for this guy to be who he should be, and it's just not there, but I'm right
there
with
you. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, we're all waiting on it.
I mean, but everybody else in this tournament was just so good every night. Undercard tag, G1 match, it didn't matter. They gave you a show every single time, and that's what you're after. I think, like we said at the top, maybe one of the best G1s, if not the best G1. Certainly the best one I think I've ever watched, but maybe the best one ever.
It's the best one ever.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, there you go. I mean, Tom's been around this a lot longer than I have, so I will take your
the
word.
The first one, if you ever get a chance to watch the first one was great. It was only 3 days, I believe, and that pretty much set the stage. That was an awesome tournament, but it only had 5 or 6 guys in it.
Yeah.
You know, because it was all new back then, but the bar that these guys have set in recent years it's insane. Mm-hmm. And every year we're like, well, it's not going to be as good as last year. It's not going to be as good as last year. And every year it keeps getting better.
Yeah. And this year has the added incentive of elevating a lot of newer guys, too, where at the last couple of years they had just so many stacked people, you know, Styles and Nakamura and
right.
You know, Anderson to agree as well. And you have so many new faces in this who I think really impressed a lot of people. And the gates certainly show it, too. I think they damn near sold out the finale, the last show. With over 10,000, which is just insane. So, I mean, what a tournament. Tom, this has been an absolute treat for me. I don't get to talk New Japan very often with Sean, but thanks for being on with me, man. This was awesome, even though I think we went way longer than either of us really wanted to. But
we're talking New Japan. We don't recognize time.
Yeah. That's so true. But thanks for being on. Thanks for listening, folks. I hope you've enjoyed us trying to tie this up as best we can. What a tournament. And, God, that's just, I don't know. This was awesome. I had a blast.
I'm glad we have some time off now.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm looking forward to going to bed. So for Tom, for myself, thanks you guys for listening. Y'all have a great night.
Have a good one.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.